Now we turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. We're going to read again from verse 9 of the chapter. We're doing this series within a series. We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And we are in the Lord's Prayer in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. But let's read from verse 9 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we rejoice in thee today. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for this model prayer that we have been given. And we pray that even as we look for thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord, that that might be something that we see, something that we work for, something that we pray for, desire within our hearts. We pray that thou wouldst help us to understand and take in thy word today. Bless it to our hearts and souls. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now we've started this series within a series on the family prayer, or the pattern prayer. Remember how the Lord gave this prayer in another place, as recorded over in Luke chapter 11. And it was an answer to the prayer of the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. And we think of how important true believing prayer is for us. In John chapter 15 and verse 16, the Lord said, And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Or John 16 and 24, Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Or Matthew 21 and 22, And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Or John 14 and 13, And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So prayer is powerful. Prayer is mighty. And we need a key to be able to unlock this great resource of prayer. And we know that prayer is not vain repetition. We have seen that as the Lord has spoken here in this sermon previously. It's not ritual. It's not ceremonial prayers that the Lord is looking for. And when the request was made, Lord, teach us to pray, the Lord gave them this pattern. He said, After this manner pray ye. And we looked at the seven petitions, or we're going to look at them anyway. And seven is the number of perfection. This is perfect prayer. The first time we looked at that, Our Father which art in heaven. And that looks as God as the source. He's the source of all that we desire. Hallowed by thy name, there is God as sanctified or holy. Thy kingdom come, that looks at God as the sovereign. Thine will be done, God as the supervisor or director of our life. Give us this day our daily bread, God as our supplier. Forgive us our debts, God as our savior. Lead us not into temptation, God as our safeguard. And thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. There's God as supreme. So this prayer really is about God. It's not so much trying to get God to line up with what you and I want as to try and get us to live lives that are glorifying to him. This is about God. But today what we want to look at is God as our supervisor or our director. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He is the one who supervises us, directs us, gives us the way that we should go. And we're acknowledging the will of God today. When we were young, we needed to get our parents' permission to go somewhere. or to do something. We had to go and ask if we could go to our friend's house or go into the shops or whatever it was that we wanted to do. And our parents were in control of the decisions that we made. And we had to be obedient to those decisions. If they said no, then we couldn't go. If they said yes, well, that was well and fine. We were expected to be obedient. Now, it's an earthly picture of what we are in relationship to our Father in heaven. He is our Heavenly Father. We are His children. So we must ask for His will for our lives. We must ask what He wants us to do in our lives. We should ask if He wants us to go here or do this or do that. It means He's in control of our decisions. And we are to be obedient to the decisions that He makes. So really when we come and ask for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, really what we're doing, we're asking permission. It is a coming to God, seeking His will for our lives. To put it simply, we just want the will of God to be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, how is it done in heaven? Well, it is done perfectly, fully, completely, immediately, perfectly. That's how God's will is done in heaven. And we want that to be done on earth. And I wonder, is God's will done perfectly by you and me? Is it done completely by you and me? Are we in conformity? Have we brought our will into conformity with the will of our Heavenly Father? Are we yielding to Him? Are we obedient children? He has saved us and we have been brought into His family, and we are to live by the family rules. So this is about submission to the will of God. He says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And I want us to look at the will of God here for a few minutes. And I want us to see what this petition really means. Many people have been praying this prayer and they've been saying all the words. But have you ever thought about what it really means, what it practically will be in your life if God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven? The first thing I want you to see today as we look at the will of God here is the principle of the will of God. Praying for God's will to be done is a foundation for our prayers. We're asking that God's will be done in our lives and in the world around us. And I suspect that if we often get that in reverse. I suspect that as we come to pray, what we really want is for our will to be done by God for us. That's the wrong way round. Thy will be done. That's what we're praying. And this is something that speaks about God having His will done in our lives. Now, there may be a little bit of perplexity about that, because what does it mean by the will of God? You see, there are different ways that the Bible speaks about the will of God. And maybe you say, well, really, this is a waste of time praying that God's will be done, because God's will be done. God's will is always done. God does what He has decreed. God does brings to pass whatsoever He has laid down. So God's will be done. So what's the point in praying? And maybe that's something that you've been thinking. Well, there are different ways of looking at the will of God. The first way is God's will of decree. And that is the sense that we've been speaking about there, in which God's will be done. Everything is done according to God's will. He sovereignly ordains that which comes to pass. That's what the theologians mean by the decreed will of God. Because of the fact that God is sovereign, His will cannot be frustrated. Otherwise, He would not be God. There are things that He wills, but there are things that also He permits. God is not responsible for those things, but He permits things to take place. But even when He permits those things to take place, we also realize that God could have stepped in and stopped those things dead. So there is this certain sense in which God's will is always done. And whatever takes place in this world, It is the will of God. Now that leads some people to look at God as kind of like an iron-fisted dictator. They look at God as if he's just dictating what is going to take place, and we have no say in the matter whatsoever. And there are those who are really, you know, you see some of God's people, and really they look at God like that, and they have a conception of God like that, and as soon as they get out, as it were, they are wanting to get out from under the hand of God. This is an iron-fisted dictator. This is a stern God. And we don't want to do what he wants us to do. There are those who have a hyper-Calvinist disposition. And they don't believe in prayer. Because God's will is going to be done anyway. God's going to fulfill what he's going to save who he's going to save. He's going to do what he wants to do, and God's will is going to be done anyway. And they said, well, then we can't pray. You know, you look at the early church, and they prayed, of course. They sought the face of God. Remember when James was put in prison, and they prayed. But even though they prayed, there's a certain sense in which they didn't believe that their prayers would be answered. They thought James was in prison, and James was going to be put to death, and that was the end of the matter. Peter, rather, wasn't present. They had put James to death. And they were praying that this would be done. And here they were, and they thought, well, God's will cannot be thwarted. And that is the decreed will of God. There is a sense in which God's will cannot be thwarted. God will bring to pass that which he has decreed. But there's something else. Not only is there the decreed will of God, but there is the declared will of God. Now this is the word. You know, we don't know all the will of God. We can't. Otherwise we would be God. There are things that we will never understand because of our finite minds. God's thoughts are above our thoughts. And his ways are above our ways. There are things that we'll never understand. But there are things that God has set down for us here in his word that are his will. There are things that are plain that are the will of God. We don't even have to ask. It's plain that we don't see. It is plain that we love our enemies. It is plain that we should repent of our sin and be holy. You don't have to search that out. You don't have to debate about that. Some people debate whether they should separate from error or from apostasy. You don't need to pray about that. God has told you in his will that, or in his word, that that is his will. You don't need to pray. God has revealed his word in, or his will in his word. Now, there is a sense in which we can go against that will. In the sense that we can disobey God's word. We can disobey his commandments. We can turn away. You think of Judas. Was Judas right to betray the Lord? Of course he wasn't. Was it sin for Judas to betray the Lord? Of course it was. And yet the Lord used that in his sovereign will. God had permitted that. God had ordained that to bring the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. Was he wrong? Of course he was. Was he breaking the will of God in a sense? Yes, he was. Was he breaking the will of God in another sense? No, he wasn't. And then there is God's will of disposition. There's God's will of decree. There's God's will that is declared. And then there's God's will of disposition. You see, the Bible speaks at times about God's attitude. It defines the things that are pleasing to him. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to him. He doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. He surely decrees the death of some of the wicked, but he does not delight in the death of the wicked. He wants there to be righteousness in this world. He wants men and women to turn to him. But are all saved? No, they're not. Is this world a world full of righteousness? No, it's not. So in that sense, the will of God is thwarted. And there is a sense in which the will of God can be thwarted. His decreed will can never be. He will bring to pass that which he has ordained. But there is a sense in which God's will, his desires, are thwarted by men. Let me put it another way. There are two words, or there are many words. I think there may be seven words in the New Testament that are, or several anyway, that are translated well. But there are two in particular, the main ones. There's the word thelo in the Greek and the word boulomai. And thelo means a decree or a design. It speaks of eternal counsels and purposes that cannot be changed. So that word is used over 200 times in the New Testament. We think of John 17 and verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. That's thelo. Father, I will. And that will is not broken. That is his decreed will. But then there is boulomai. And boulomai really is a fond wish or a desire. There are things that God desires to happen in the best of circumstances. But sometimes men depart from what God's will is. Now that is the sense in which we pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. There are those things that men break. There are those things that men turn away from. There are those times when men are disobedient to the will of God. But God wants us to pray that his will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we notice the principle of God's will. But then I want you to see the pattern of God's will. Now we've mentioned this briefly. It says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now he wants God's will to be done in earth. But you notice the pattern. It is as it is in heaven. Now, how is God's will done in heaven? Well, we've mentioned it. It's done completely. It's done universally. It's done not making any selection, picking and choosing about what we do and what we don't do. It's not partial obedience, it's wholehearted obedience. These are loyal subjects of the King of Kings. It's complete. It's also consistent. It's not done one day and not the next. It's not that there are failures and backslidings in heaven, for there aren't. There are no days when they say, oh, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like worshipping God today. I don't feel like going along and praying today. I don't feel like the prayer meeting today. I'll go tomorrow, but today I just want to go to sleep. The Bible says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's consistent. Something else is God's will is done in heaven constantly. In Luke chapter 1 verse 19 we read about Gabriel, the angel who comes to announce the birth of John the Baptist to Zacharias. And it says, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And the thought there of standing in the presence of God is the thought of standing there ready to receive orders. Always there at the beck and call of the Master to hear as soon as he says whatever his will is, whatever it is, I'm going to hear it straight away and I'm going to rush to do what needs to be done. It's constant. Something else, it's done without complaint. It's done quickly. It's done with joy and excitement. The psalmist says in Psalm 103 and verse 20, bless the Lord ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. And in heaven, God's will is done out of a heart of love. It's done with unquestioned desire. Too often, it's done on earth out of a sense of mere routine. But it is done without complaint, with joy. And then, something else about the way the will of God is done in heaven. It's done compliantly. In heaven, they do the will of God humbly, trying not to bring the glory to themselves, but the glory to God. You know, I wonder if you've ever gone into a shop or into a business where you've experienced mediocre service, where maybe the shop assistant or somebody that was on the end of a phone was rude, or they were kind of a job's worth kind of a person, and they were just going to do the minimum. And maybe you said to yourself, you know, I'll not go back there. And I couldn't be bothered with that. There's bound to be somewhere else that gave you better service than that. Well, we don't serve the Lord, or we can't. We shouldn't serve the Lord in a mediocre way. Our service is to be done reverently and humbly and compliantly. In Matthew 20, verses 25 and 26, he said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you." They were to serve with joy, not just because of its dominion, but because of joy. Well, the world is serving the God of this world, but we serve the God of heaven. And so there's the pattern. God's will is to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, is it with us? Are we consistent? Are we compliant? Is our service constant? Is it without complaint? Are we coming to God with a full-hearted desire to do whatever He wants us to do? There is the pattern of God's will. But thirdly, I want you to see the performance of God's will. Thy will be done. Now, done there is a word that speaks of that which is accomplished or successful. It is done. It is achieved. And that's what we pray for, that the Lord's will may be achieved. Now, when it's achieved, I want you to think about the struggle with that prayer, because I want you to realize what we pray for when we pray, "Thy will be done." Because what we are praying for really is that our will may be overcome by God's will. There is a syllogism or a logical statement that it says that God's will is perfect. That's the first premise. My will is not always perfect. That's the second premise. So here's the conclusion. Therefore, when I pray that God's will be done, I am praying that God's will prevail over my will. And that's what we're praying for. Now, that's not easy. That's very difficult at times. Perhaps there is a sick loved one, and we have prayed that they get better, but God's will is that He take them to Himself, that He take them home. Now, when we pray, "Thy will be done," then we are praying that God's will prevail over mine. Maybe you want a particular job, and you love this particular job, and it is your plan and purpose in life, but God has another idea for you. And so, when you pray, "Thy will be done," you're praying that God's will prevail over you. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. This is not easy. Not only is there the struggle of that prayer, but there's the sphere of that prayer. It is that God's will be done on earth. Some people think of, you know, Christianity as pie in the sky. It is God's blessing after I die. It is looking for that it's beyond, and so heavenly minded that there were no earthly use. But we're praying for earthly blessings. We're praying that God's will be done on earth, that this old world in which we are living might be changed. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. We're praying that God's will be done. And that's what happened in times of revival. We can look at the history books and we can see that God's will was being done on earth. It's not just about heaven above, but it is about earth beneath. There's the struggle of that prayer and the sphere of that prayer and the success of that prayer. "Thy will be done." It will happen. It will be achieved. That it will come to pass. That's what we want. It's not hopes or aspirations that we're after here. It is that we lay hold upon God that it will be done. So we notice something here of the performance of God's will. But then could I say something about the practice of God's will? Because this prayer is very practical. We are praying that something happen in heaven, that God's will be done. And we're praying about the will of God and all that. But it is very practical because it will mean something. First of all, it will mean obedience. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven means that I will be yielding to God as the potter has the vessel in his hands and begins to mould it and make it into what he wants it to be. So the Lord has his hands upon us. Remember the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed, not my will, but thine be done. And we are followers of him. And if we're really praying this prayer, we will be obedient. You may be breaking the Sabbath. God has set one day in seven for himself. It is our day of rest and our day of worship. You cannot tell me that you're interested in the will of God if you're breaking the Sabbath. We think of the desire for the world and many of the attitude God's commands to many people, indeed some of God's people, they feel as if they've become old and outdated. And the commands of modesty of dress or lasciviousness, against lasciviousness and worldliness. You Christians now involved in the dance. Christian couples in the wedding that take the first dance. Let me tell you that while the notion that the modern dance is lustful is one that has become outdated, it is nevertheless true. Now we cannot be thwarting the ways of God and the will of God, and we can't be disobeying the Lord and be saying to the Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's got to be that there's going to be obedience. Not only will there be obedience, but there'll be evangelism. For God's will to be done on earth, we want to be spreading the message of God, to see souls saved, to see men and women reached with the gospel. And, of course, there's a prophetic element, I believe, in what we are reading here. There is that day when God's will be done on earth in a greater way than it ever has been before. But in the meantime, we need to be spreading the message. We need to be telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. If we can't do it ourselves, we can finance it. The Consider Christ campaign is in need of funds as they are going round the south. And we need to promote the evangelism of the world. It will have practical implications if we pray, thy will be done. But one more thing I want you to see. Not only do we see the practice of the will of God, but look at the power of the will of God. What will it mean if God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven? Well, for one thing, it'll mean continuous revival. It'll mean that as we bend to the sovereignty of God, we will do what God wants us to do. Some of you know your own hearts. Some of you know the little foxes and the sins that are there. We thought on Thursday night about that verse that says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Micah says in Micah 6 and 8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. We think of King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26. And as we read that when he was strong, that his heart was lifted up in pride to his destruction. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And if we want revival, then we need to pray for God's will to be done on earth. If we want peace, then we need God's will to be done on earth. That is the very essence of peace. We think of how it will bring peace to our enemies. We read in Proverbs 16 and 7, when a man's pleased the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. There are all sorts of talks for peace today, and they're talking about trying to get together with the Taliban and Afghanistan and to get together with terrorists here and there and trying to bring about peace. But where does true peace come from? comes with peace with God. It'll not only be peace with our enemies, but it'll be peace within the soul. Those of you who are not saved, I want to say that you need to draw nigh to God today. And you need that peace of God that passeth all understanding. Paul's prayer for the Colossians was that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. We want God to break into your life. We want God to bring that real joy and peace that there is in walking in his will. We need God's will to be done in the church. God's will to be done in the family. God's will to be done in our country. God's will to be done in our jobs. God's will to be done in our lives. God's will to be done in our personal relationship. Are we prepared to pray, Lord, thy will be done? Oh, that every one of us might bow the knee before the Lord right now and seek that God's will may be done for us. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer.